Welcome back to The Mountain Life. I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Chris Cherniak.
Americans love podcasts, and we love that you love ours. In fact, almost half regularly tune into the more than 750,000 shows currently available. And podcast production is booming. About 2,000 new podcasts are created every week. Of the 6 billion podcast downloads each year, more than 1 billion of those are for the 130 podcasts that our next guest, Eric Newsom, created, including the TED Radio Hour and Invisibilia, one of my favorites. Eric joins us to discuss his new book, Make Noise, A Creator's Guide to Podcasting and Great Audio Storytelling. Eric Newsom, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Oh, thank you very much.
Really appreciate you coming on, and we're really excited also about your book. There are a lot of podcasts out. What is the impetus for just the infusion of podcasts currently in the U.S.?
It's I think it's largely because it's not just in the U.S., it's actually around the world. But I think the technology, both to listen to podcasts and to make them, has gotten so incredibly easy for people that the barrier to entry is almost nothing. And I think that, so it's very easy with anyone with a fairly contemporary electronic device, even an iPad or a cell phone or a personal computer, to set up a podcast and be podcasting in just a couple minutes even. But then that's great that it's that easy. And then the question becomes, how do you do it well?
Right. And so I want to know just a quick history of it. Did someone come up with the first podcast, and when did that occur?
Yeah, so there's a guy named Dave Weiner who is well known in the tech field for having developed blogging technology, the technology that drives not only blogging but also any kind of syndication of material from one website to another. So if you're ever on a website and you see articles from another site showing up and listed there, that technology that allows you to move information from one or share information from one website to another, Dave developed that. And back in October of 2000, a former MTV VJ named Adam Curry got the idea, strangely enough, he was the one, of like we could attach audio files to those and you could use the same technology to distribute audio files. And so he talked Dave Weiner into writing a version of the blogging code that would allow what they referred to back then as audio blogging. And in October 2000, they kind of hacked their way through it and came up with it. And nobody kind of got it or understood it. They put up the first feed in January of 2001, and which was just, at that time, just a bunch of songs, MP3 files of songs. And nobody got it. And it wasn't another 3 or 4 years until people started to experiment around with it and figure, hey, this would be a way to distribute something that sounds like a radio show. And at that time, the conversation was about audio blogging, was it could be like a magazine subscription where you would say you wanted this thing, and every time there was a new episode, it would get delivered to you. That was the paradigm that people talked about back then. So in 2004, it started to catch on, and I learned about it back then, and then I was in 2005, I was at NPR at the time, and we decided to start podcasting then.
So what is the great appeal about it to you that you really, you've made a career out of this and you're authoring books about it? What is that draw?
I think it's I think it is the appeal to me back then was I think that this is a way to, for shows that are available only on certain times, certain days of the week, certain hours, and this is a way to allow listeners to hear those things that they might miss on the radio. And I thought that was a big opportunity. And it wasn't until we were doing that that I realized, oh, this is a great kind of platform to offer new things on. And so we started to do that about a year later.
And what are some of these, clues, hints that you want your readers to walk away with?
Well, I think that, despite podcasts being easy to make, it's not easy to succeed. And what really is common for podcasts to do really well is really having a sense of what is your message? Like, what are you trying to talk about? Like, what are you trying to, what, not just you're talking about a subject, but what is your take on it? What is your viewpoint or point of view? And your podcast really clearly articulates that, reflects that. And also really having a clear idea of who your intended audience is. Are you speaking to, if you're doing a podcast about immigration stories, the podcast you make for people who are, you know, looking at immigration stories from, you know, the turn of the, you know, the early 1900s is very different than a podcast about immigration stories recently. And the perspective on it, if you are if you're an immigrant yourself, your perspective will be very different than someone else. And so I think that defining not only your message, but who you are and who your intended audience is more important than even the format of what you are trying to create.
Right. I want to talk a little bit about that format. Give us some insights of, like, what are the common elements that you've seen that makes a good podcast? And what I really like is, what are the common elements that make bad podcasts?
Well, they're related. The thing that makes podcasts really good is a clear sense of identity. Yeah. Like, they have a clear articulation of, when you're looking at a radio station, like an FM or AM radio station, there may be 20 or 30 other radio stations in a major market that are listenable to that person. And so they're picking between 20 or 30 different choices. In the podcasting sphere, there's 850,000. So there's an awful lot out there. And for you to kind of be distinct and be discovered by the people you want to be your audience, the first step is to really have a clear idea of who you are and how you're different than all under 850,000 podcasts. And there's an answer to that question. You need to come up with it, and you describe you and nothing else. And so the podcasts, I think, that succeed have that clear sense of self-identity. And the ones that fail are either don't have that sense of definition or clarity around who they are or who they're talking to or what their message is, or they have unrealistic expectations. If two guys are talking about their favorite films in their living room and they have no sense of what that makes them interesting or why they have over thousands of other podcasts talking about films, and they are sitting there wondering why they're not getting a million downloads, this is all related, and that really ends up frustrating people and causing them to sometimes give up.
Yeah.
And in fact, back in 2007-08, I was working with students of mine, and we were making podcasts, and their big emphasis was the really cool picture that everybody saw and how important the music lead up and ending was. But you really, and I would still say it probably gets a lot of clickbait on that one, but storytelling is the critical element. Tell us a little bit about storytelling and why that's so important to listeners.
Well, it's so important for listeners because nothing in life is worse than a boring story.
I've been told that.
Yeah. And nothing, I'm a firm believer that there are no bad stories. There are just bad storytellers.
Yes.
And when I'm asked by people, what's your advice for people? I often reply, don't be boring. And that seems so crazy simple.
Right.
And yet so many people are boring.
Right.
And it really is a matter of, like, really kind of be tenacious and relentless in making sure that every moment counts and that there's something in every single minute for that will just delight a listener. And that is really, I think, critical for any storyteller is, you know, there's some of the mechanical stuff, like understand scenes, understand characters and the role and the narrative arc and how that plays out. But the truth is, it really is just like, how do you make that story interesting? And the book is filled with lots of advice about how to make sure your story is as interesting as it could be.
Right, that's a really critical point, Eric, because like you said, those two guys that sit on the couch and talk about movies, they don't think they're boring. They may think they're really interesting and they've got something really important to share. But they have to be open to, I guess, like you say, the audience. The audience, you know, is the final arbiter of what's good or bad or how boring or not boring you are. And so you as a podcaster have to be open to that criticism and critique. To want to maybe revise your approach. Mm-hmm. That's a big part of this, too.
Absolutely.
All right, so last few minutes, where do you think podcasts are going? Where are the trends? I mean, there's obviously, this is like a tree that has grown, and there's thousands and thousands of branches and such. Is there an end to it? Does it like a tree? Does it reach its ultimate height and maturity, or do you think this is just podcasting can just trend into different areas?
Well, it's interesting. You know, to use your tree analogy, there is a point where a tree just doesn't grow any bigger.
Right,
it's gotten up as high as it can, and the root system won't support it. It either falls over and dies, or just sort of thrives for hundreds of years.
Right.
I think the podcasting. You know, podcasting right now, everyone is impressed by all the branches and everything, but that tree is probably about 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
And I think that we are just at the very beginning of what on-demand audio, whether you call it podcasting or call it something else, just at the beginning of figuring out how this factors into people's lives and making it easy for people to find things they love and support them. We've got a long, long way to go, and it's just going to be a really interesting time.
And so, real quick, what podcasts do you like? Well, who do you think gets it right, and it can be used as a good source of educational material too for budding podcasts?
Yeah, it's an almost impossible question to answer because it really depends on who you are.
Yeah.
I mean, I have people I recommend sports podcasts to. I have people I recommend true crime to, conversation podcasts, self-help and motivational podcasts. It just depends on what people find compelling. So whenever people ask me for recommendations, I ask them questions about themselves first and try to come up with something that's really interesting because I just don't think there's one podcast that everybody loves. I don't think that exists.
Well, thank you so much, Eric. And we appreciate your podcasts you're producing and look forward to here at KPCW, delving deeper into your book to improve our radio show and our podcast that we're making out of this.
Eric, do you have a website that people can visit?
It's Eric with a C, Newsom, NUZUM.com. And you can also find Make Noise, the book, at any bookstore and your library as well.
Right. Then the name of the book is Make Noise, A Creator's Guide to Podcasting and Great Audio Storytelling. Eric Newsom, thanks again so much for joining us this morning on The Mountain Life.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Life. If you missed part of the show or want to share it, all our shows are posted within the hour on kpcw.org under the Shows tab. We also podcast all of KPCW's Public Affair Hour shows. Wherever you find your podcast, you can find them under KPCW and the individual show name. So look for KPCW The Mountain Life and take us with you on your next road trip or commute.